Holding on a half of Ahmed Bey is about the middle of the wide lines by the two dots, Simon Devavar Rayasganov. So Simon, that's Simon for Dovavar Rayasganov, really, is a key words of the next three statements. We've been talking about people who are apostle Eidos. With the last thing we mentioned is that there are people who are apostle because they did an Aveda Daraisa. And then you have people who are apostle on the grounds that they did something drabanan, where there we said we need hachroza, we need to announce publicly that they did it before they can be apostle leaders. So the Gemara goes on. So Simon Devavar, so Simon Dovavar Ganav, Omer Rab Nachman, Dover Acher Psulim Laedus. Rab Nachman says that people who eat Dover Acher are Psul Laedus. Now, normally Dover Acher means Chazir, but here the Gemara is going to draw a distinction between in public and in private. So therefore, Tosfos explains it can't mean that. So Rashi tells us what it means is the Dover Acher, in general, Dover Acher means something unmentionable, something that we don't want to mention because it's disgusting, basically. So sometimes it's used of Chazir Fleish, it can be used of Tzaras, a number of things. Here Rashi says what it means is where he takes Tzedakah from Goyim. Now, Rashi explains it's a Chilul Hashem. Rashi doesn't explain why it's a Chilul Hashem. Rishonim explain the problem is then the Goyim are going to say, look at this, the Jews don't take care of their own poor. Here they make such a big deal about tzedakah and all, and they don't take care of their own poor. The Yad Raman, the Rambam give a somewhat different reason, that the reason is because it's a bizoyan in public for him, it's a bizoyan for him to be taking tzedakah like that from them, and therefore if he's gonna act in a way that shows bizoyan for himself, that shows he has no self-respect, then we're concerned he might also, like this, a regular person, a normal person is not gonna testify falsely in Beis Din, even if they offer him money, because he has a certain self-respect. So a person who lacks that is susceptible to maybe testifying falsely. So therefore we have to passel, therefore we have to passel his edus. However, the Gemara says, Hani mida b'fahesya. That would only be where he's receiving that tzedakah in public. Av b'tzina loy, but if he does it in private, then no. Because according to either of the explanations, if you say it's a matter of a chilul Hashem, it's not going to cause a chilul Hashem because it's being done in private. And if you say it's a matter of that he's showing that he has no self-respect, since he's doing it in private, it shows that he does. And the Gemara continues, even when we're talking about b'fahesya, him receiving tzedakah is only where he would have been able to be supported in private, and instead he chooses to take it publicly. Become mavazi nafshe b'fahesya, and then he's acting in a way that shows bizoyan on himself in public and taking tzedakah. Avaloy efshalei, but if it's impossible, if he can't live without the tzedakah chayusi, then listen, this is livelihood, and you can't say that he's causing a chilul Hashem or that he's or that he's being mavazi himself by doing that. Therefore, he remains kosher la'edus. There was quite a bit of discussion. There was quite a bit of discussion about this among Rishonim and Achronim about various parameters of this. One thing is, aside from what we're saying over here, that it can be a Chilul Hashem to take tzedakah from them, there's also a consideration the Gemara mentions in Baba Basra that when the Goyim give tzedakah, it's more zchusim for them. And do we really want them to have more zchusim? We want that ultimately their zchusim will get used up and then their power will be broken and Mashiach will come. So that factors into this as well. One thing is that, when we're saying over here that it's only that where he can't live without it, we're not talking about necessarily that he's that, we're not talking about pikuach nefesh, like if he doesn't get that tzedakah, he's going to die on the spot. Of course, very few things stand in the way of pikuach nefesh. We're talking about just where he's having a very hard time making ends meet. And then there's an interesting discussion among Achroni Aposkim about what happens nowadays with government welfare and all that sort of thing is not going to make a person posel eidos. So there's a lot to discuss about that. In particular, the Kloisenberger Rebbe says in his Shailos HaTshuvos that no, for one thing, because they don't give it, the government doesn't give those things out of the goodness of their heart. They give it because they want to get reelected. So they're not doing it necessarily specifically as a favor to Jews. Plus, he points out there are other considerations as well. The fact is, they give it without where they give it pretty broadly. It's not specifically to Jews, and there's a variety of other points that are made up as well that are made in that as well. One point that one point that one. that one Sefer makes in that regard is nowadays people don't even know in general. The Gemara has established earlier that when people don't know that something is an Aveda, then not to say it's not an Aveda, but at least you can't necessarily hold them guilty of doing it. Nowadays, many people don't even know, for example, of this concept of not taking tzedakah from the goyim. Adarabba, people tend to think whatever the government's going to give, you know, it's available, let's take it, vayinatzalatz mitzrayim, and all that. So therefore, you can't necessarily say that they're posel la'edos on the basis of it. Okay. The Gemara continues. The second thing that Reb Nachman says about people who are both kosher apostle la'edus, Omer Reb Nachman, ha'choshur al ha'arayas, a person who is suspect regarding arayas, kosher la'edus, is still kosher la'edus. Rashi explains that the point is that he's apostle la'edus only if his rishus has something to do with money. Because then, for one thing, we're concerned he might take money to testify falsely. But here, we're talking about where his problem is in some other area, then that's not necessarily an issue. But Rav Sheshes says, Ani Mori, answer me, Rebbe, are boring the kasfe, the kosher? How could it be? He's getting 40 malchus on his shoulders, meaning, in other words, because he's kosher al arayas, he's doing something which can make him chayev malchus, the kosher, and he can still be kosher as an aid. So in other words, Rav Sheshes disagrees with this concept that it has to be dafka eid chomos, that it has to be dafka something involving money, taking money illegally. Rav Sheshes is saying that it should apply also to any other avera that would make him chayiv malchus. Now here it's not strictly speaking malchus daraisa. Here we may be talking about makas maudus derabanan, because we're talking about he's only choshur al arayas. He's suspect about arayas. Now Rashi points out there's no asra over here, but nevertheless, a person can get makas maudus for that there are bad reports going about him that he's committing znus or whatever, and they are dirabanan. So there is some discussion about in that case why are we saying dafka 40 over here? I mean, makas maudus on the face of it depends on whatever Beistin evaluates. There is quite a bit of discussion among Rishonim about the exact distinction between makas daraisa and Malchus de Rabbanon. So one thing is there are Rishonim who explain in brief. The Rivash explains in one of his Truvas in more detail. He says Makas Maudus in a way can be harsher than Malchus Daraisa, because basically there it's meant as a preventative thing to prevent, you have, for example, there can be Makas Maudus where based in beats a person to force him to do a mitzvah, it's a kumvah say. He has to do that mitzvah, and therefore Beis Din is beating him to force him to do it. But if you're talking about that he was over on a mitzvah that Rabbanon, like here, then yeah, of course it has some kind of limit. But then there's possibilities. Maybe Makas Maudus are not as strong as Malchus Daraisa. In any case, getting back to the Gemara over here, Rav Sheshes is bothered by how can the guy be Choshur al Arayas and still be Choshur la'edus. However, Omar Rava, so Rava says, so Rav Nachman was not concerned about that. However, Omar Rava umoded Rav Nachman in an Edus Isha Shu Apostle. Rav Nachman will agree when it comes to Edus regarding a woman, for example, that her husband died, or for example, that he's one of the Edim on a get, that he would be apostle for that. Omar Rava v'itemer apapa lo yamaran el apuka. Now Rava, or some say the papa, says that no, that where that what Rava is saying would apply only to take her out of her husband. So yeah, if he's going to come to Beis Din and give edus that her husband died or divorced her or whatever, then we can't believe him because maybe he's doing it in order to be mezana with her. Avla Ayula, but Rava or a papa says to bring her in other words, to be one of the Eidei Kedushin, less slumba, then there's no problem. What's the problem? He's gonna be an Eid Kedushin to say that she's off limits to him? Adarabba, he wants her to be available to him. But so the Gemara asks, Pshita, isn't that obvious? And the answer is no, because Mawadatema Ha'adifale, you might think the other way around. Maybe, in fact, he would prefer to testify falsely that she is Makudesh, that she's Makudeshus, and that she's off limits to him. And Dichtiv, after all, the Pasuk says, Mayim Gnuvim Yimtiku V'Goymer. The Pasuk says, stolen waters are sweet. So sometimes a person psychologically, sometimes the Yetzirah prefers to get him to do something that's also like there's a greater thrill in it. So therefore, so here he might be testifying that she's married, when in fact she's not, in order to, now the fact is, if she's not married, what good is that doing? So some Mephoshim point out, listen, you know, I mean, after all, if he testifies she's married, then people are going to consider her as such, and that means she's not going to be as available to him. So therefore, he may want to do it in order, dafka, to have that thrill of then being over on something that's osur. There is an interesting Musudic idea brought from Reb Chaim Shmulevitz that says sometimes a person's Yetzer Hara will get them to do this kind of thing. They'll make for themselves an imaginary Isser, an imaginary barrier, just so they have the pleasure of just so they have the pleasure in the Yetzer Hara of breaking through it. So that's a psychological thing. So therefore, you would think that maybe in this case that's the case with this person. So maybe we shouldn't allow his Eidus that she's Mekudeshes either. Kamash Mulan, therefore, Ravino or a Papa is telling us that no, the fact is, the more she's available in a status of being a pnuya, being unmarried, she will be more available to him, and therefore, if he's testifying that she's married, then we are going to overlook those considerations, and we are going to say it's much more likely that he wants her to be available to him, and therefore, if he's going to testify that she's mekudeshes, that he's making her not available to him, and therefore, it's more likely that his eidus is valid. This in general, by the way, that we're saying that a choshen ala arayas, Reb Nachman is saying, is choshen la'edus. Tosfos points out, first of all, again, we might be talking about choshen over here. Soon we're going to talk about in the Gemara about an oichel nevelus, somebody who actually eats nevelus, where that's different. There we actually see him eating nevelus, we see him eating treif. Here we're talking about only a choshen. He's suspect of arayas, but we don't actually have any solid proof of it. But then Tosfos points out another very interesting idea, because when it comes to Arayas, we can say that his Yetzer Hara gets the better of him. When it comes to Nevela, when it comes to other kinds of things, we learned in the first Perek, for example, about a person committing bestiality with an animal, a person doesn't have such a powerful Yetzer Hara for those things, so therefore if he's doing those, we have reason to say that he's doing it deliberately and that he should be posel eidus. When it comes to Arayas, even if it's not just choshud, even if we know that he's committed Arayas, Tosfos says in their second answer that maybe it's not... Not to say it's not so bad, but you can't pass olam la'edus on it, because you can say his Yetzer Hara got the better of him. Very interestingly, Rav Kook talks about this in one of his early letters, in one of his tshuvas. He says, based on that, he wants to exonerate many of the non-frum Jews of the last few generations. He says, basically, it's pretty much the same kind of thing. The Yetzer Hara has gotten the better of them to fall into assimilating among the goyim and copying their ways or whatever. You can't really hold them like mezidim. Basically, according to this Tosfos over here and some other relevant Tosfos and elsewhere in Shas, it comes out that basically they're anusim, which is, of course, the whole concept we have of tinik shenishba, but Rav Kook seems to be going further with it and saying, Tinik Shanishba is not just somebody who was raised without knowledge of Yiddishkeit, as you have many Jews nowadays, unfortunately, but he seems to be saying that even if they did grow up from and then went off the derech, nevertheless, they were seduced into it by contemporary society, and therefore it's similar to this person over here who's an onus because of his Yetzer Hara. So in short, a real limud zchus on many of the not yet frum or were frum and are currently not, etc., Jews of nowadays. All right, going on, the Gemara says, V'omer Reb Nachman, then Reb Nachman says a third din, Ganav Nisan v'ganav Tishrei lo shmei ganav. A ganav who steals during Nisan, which is the harvest time, and of grain, and Tishrei, which is the time of the grape harvest, is not a ganav. Now, what does that mean? Why is Nisan and Tishrei different than any other time? Hanimili ba'arisa. First of all, we're talking about an oris. So the oris has been working the land all this time on behalf of the landowner. So now, the oris is supposed to get a certain percentage of the crop. That's the deal. The oris gets, as we learned back in Bava Metzia, depending on the arrangement they made, he gets a third, a quarter, whatever the percentage is. But now he's murder heter for himself. He rationalizes for himself that he can take a little bit extra because, after all, I worked so hard on it. So now, if in the grain harvest time or in the grape harvest time, he takes himself a little bit extra. He's an oris, so he has a little excuse in his mind. But davar muat, and we're talking about a little amount of something, over davar shenigmar melachtoi, and something where the processing of it has already been completed. So he thinks of himself. So he thinks to himself, you know what? I'm no worse than a worker. So therefore, I'm just a regular hired worker. So therefore, I have a certain heter to take a little bit of it for myself. After all, we know a worker is allowed to eat on the job. So he's rationalizing to himself based on this kind of thing. And therefore, so again, it's one of those kinds of things where the person doesn't realize how serious an avera it is. The fact is, it is an avera to steal even to steal. Even a tiny amount, but this person doesn't realize it, so you can't pasul him la'edus on that on those grounds. So, and the Gemara gives an example. Well, the Gemara gives an example. Ikre de Rav Zvid. There was the oris of the oris, the farmers who worked for Rav Zvid. Chad gon of kava de sairi. One of them stole a calf of barley. Upasle, and Rav Zvid decided on that basis that he's posel la'edus because a calf is already a significant amount, and even he should realize for himself that that's wrong and not be doing it. V'chad gon of kibura da'ahini, the other one stole a cluster of dates, and also a pasle, and also Rav Zvid, and also Rav Zvid pasled him la'edus. So the difference is, in other words, unlike in the so Rashi points out actually the ikur was not an oris. So the ikur is just somebody who works, and Rav Zvid pays him. So he has no excuse, even in his own mind, to take even a calf of barley. So that was a, so and so therefore so so now you can't say like Rav Nachman had said, well, he's going to rationalize to himself. After all, I'm an oris. I get a certain percentage. I'm in a way a part owner of this field. So therefore, I should be entitled. Here, they're just hired workers, and therefore they have no excuse, even in their own mind, to do that. And therefore, Rav Zvid passed them. Okay, another case, Hanu Kvuroi. There was a case with people who are burying the dead, the local Chevra Kadisha, to cover Nafsha, B'yom Tov Rishon Shel Atzeres. They buried a person on the first day of Shavuos. Now, the din is that if you have a mess on the first day of Yom Tov, Jews are not allowed to bury him. If the burial has to be done that day, then it has to be done by Goyim. The second day of Yom Tov, then the Chachamim made a heter. We're talking about in Chutz La'aretz, where we have a second day of Yom Tov, then the Chachamim made a heter, and you're allowed to bury Mesim on the second day of Yom Tov, even though there are actual Malachas involved. Nowadays, we don't necessarily do that for a variety of reasons, but in any case, the first day of Yom Tov, it's definitely also to do. And they were doing it for pay. Shamtinu Rapapa. So I guess we're not really talking about the Chevra Kadisha, because the Chevra Kadisha, I don't think it's paid, but whatever, we're talking about professional grave diggers. So yeah. Shamtinu Rapapa. Rapapa put them in Cherem, or Paslinu La'edus, and he declared them Pasul La'edus, because they had been because what are we this is an example of Chomas. This is an example because of money, they're being over on an Isser. So now we have to be concerned. In the future, they might take money to testify falsely. V'achshirinu Rav Huna Brei de Rav Yeshua. However, Rav Huna Brei de Rav Yeshua decided that they're kosher la'edus after all. He didn't disagree with putting them in nidui in cherem, but he did disagree with passing them la'edus. Rapapa asked him, "Aren't they rishoyim? We see we put them in cherem, and why should they be kosher la'edus?" So Rav Huna answers, "Listen, savri mitzvah ka'avdi. They thought we're doing a mitzvah. We're doing covered a mess over here. Yes, they did it in the wrong way, but after all, you can't say that they're out and out blatant rishoyim." So Rav Papa asks, "V'ha'kamashamtinalu? What do you mean? They see we put him in cherem. That itself shows them they didn't do a mitzvah." And now they're doing it again and again. So we see obviously they are rishoyim. They're doing it deliberately. Okay, the answer is Savri Kapora Ka'avdilon Rabbanon. So Rav Huna says no, because they're going to think of themselves like this. You know why they're putting us in Cherem is, yes, we did something wrong, but the fact is they're going to think like this. They're going to rationalize. You are allowed to break Yom Tov for the mitzvah of Kvuras HaMes, which is a big mitzvah. They're putting us in Cherem, the Chachamim. Fine, you know what that means? It means that every time we do that, the fact is we are being Mechalo Yom Tov, and therefore we need a Kapora, and therefore they're putting us in Cherem as a Kapora for that, but not that what we did is actually completely wrong. In other words, they would think to themselves, it's almost like the kind of thing, for example, you have a din that if a person needs to fast a tainis cholim on Shabbos, and he does so, but afterwards he needs to fast another day as a kapara for the fast, as tshuva for the fact that he fasted on Shabbos. So now these grave diggers are going to think to themselves the same way. Yes, of course, we know that breaking Yom Tov is wrong. That's why the Chachamim are putting us in Nidui as a kapara for that, but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't do it next time, because the fact is it still needs to be done. So therefore, Rav Huna is saying they're not deliberately going and breaking Yom Tov, knowing that we're telling them it's wrong. That this is their rationalization to it. The Yad Rama explains the Nemuka Yosef rather. So the Nemuka Yosef explains a little differently that a Papa's second question is: look, why shouldn't they at least come to Beis Din to ask for the Nidui to be taken off? And if they don't ask that, doesn't that mean they realize that they're guilty and they should be puzzle? And the answer is, listen, they figure, you know, we have to go through the entire 30 days of Nidui as a kapara for having broken Yom Tov, even though it was a mitzvah to do that. And again, the point is they're not realizing that they're actually what they're doing is a blatant avera. The Gemara says, Itmar. We have a discussion as follows. Eid Zoymin. Suppose you have an aide who was a, who, an aide zoimim. So we know what aide zoimim are. Here you have, let's say, he gave Eidos and Nissen and about a certain loan, let's say. Then the following Tishrei, Edom came to Beis Din and said, Imanu Hayisem, you were with us someplace else, and therefore, and then, and we know the Torah tells us you believe the second Edom, and you, and the first ones get punished, Vasisim Lekasha Zomam. So now, obviously, from that time on, they're apostle Eidos. What about before that? So in our scenario over here, they first gave their Eidos, which now has turned out to be false, in Nissen. They first gave their Eidos, which has turned out to be false, in Nissan Tufshin Pei Dalad, let's say. Now it's Tishrei, Tufshin Pei Hei, and it's been shown that that Eidos was false. What happens to any Eidos they did between Nissan and Tishrei? Abaya Omalam, Afreyahu Nifso, Abaya says he gets passed retroactively. So anything from Nissan and onward in our scenario is going to be possible, because after all, it turns out that that was Eidos, that he was a, that he, that, that Eidos that he gave was wrong Eidos, was false Eidos, so therefore he's possible from then on. Rava says only from now on, only from Tishrei onward, will any new Eidos of his be possible, but anything that he did between Nissan and Tishrei, Rava says, will still be kosher. So Abaya Omalam Afreyahu Nif. So why does Abaya say that he gets passed retroactively, covering all the time? Now, by the way, the Rashba points out, we have to realize we don't mean, for example, if let's say he comes, let's say he comes to Nissen testifying that let's say he comes in Nissan testifying that a loan took place in Adar, we're certainly not going to passel him from Adar. The fact is he only came to Beis Din to testify about it in Nissan. What we're talking about is from Nissan or from Tishrei, as the case may be. So according to Abaya from Nissan and according to Rava from Tishrei. Abaya Omalam Afreyahu Nifsal. Abaya says the reason why he's possible retroactively back to the time when he gave that Eidos that turned out to be false is Me'idna De'asid Roshahu, because after all, ever since he gave that Eidos, it turns out now that he was a Rosha, because now it turns out, now we know that he gave Eidos that is false. The pasuk says, "Don't place your hand together with the rosha," which includes that pasuk includes several different dinim, and one of them is al toshes rosha aid. It's addressed to the dayanim. Do not place a rosha as an aid. Do not allow a rosha to be an aid. So now it turns out that he was a Rosha as of when the document was signed, or as of when he gave the Eidos. Actually, whether it applies to a document, actually, we've shown him talk about, maybe not necessarily, because after all, the Ran points out, with a Shtar, you can always say that they post-dated it, so not necessarily can we go based on the date it says in the Shtar, unless it explicitly says in the Shtar that we actually signed it, unless there's wording in there that actually says we signed it on the date below, or something like that. In any case, the point is, but if you're talking about Eidos Alpeh, Abaya is saying that, look, it turns out that Eidos was false all along, so therefore it turns out that he was a Rosha, and you can't do that. And then therefore all his Eidos from when he, or everything that he does from when he gave that Eidos is going to be possible. Rava Amar Mikano Labo Nifso. Rava says, no, he's only possible from now on, because Rava says, Eid Zoymim Chidushu. The whole concept of Eid Zoymim is really a big Chidush. Because after all, my chos samchasahani, smoichahani. After all, why should we believe the second set of Edim who say, Manu Yisem, maybe we should be believing the first set of Edim. It's a Xeris HaKosov, basically. So therefore, so Rava says, Ein lecho boi elech mishas chidush ve'elech. So therefore, you can really only apply it from when the chidush takes place and onward. Meaning, in other words, you have a case like this. You have something called Edim hamachishim zuas zu. Shnei kita Edim hamachishim zuas zu. So suppose Reuven and Shimon come to Beis Din and they say that Yankel lent Moshe $100 on this past Sunday, let's say. Then two other Edim, Levi and Yehuda, come and say that no, on that day he couldn't have, because on that day Yankel was in a different country. That's not Edim Zoymim, that's just Hakosha. The fact is, we say we don't know which one to believe, so we just throw out the whole Edus and ignore both of them. And then we can talk about are any of them possible Edus. The Gemara discusses elsewhere. That if you have one person from one pair and the other from the other pair come to testify together, that might be a problem, because obviously one of them are lying. We just don't know which one. But in any case, with Edom Zomim, the Torah tells us specifically, completely discount the Eidos of the first ones, where the second ones are saying, listen, we don't know. Maybe Moshe lent Yankel that money on that day. Maybe not. We weren't there. But what we do know is, Imanu HaYisim, that you, Edom, yourselves, Reuven and Shimon, were with us elsewhere. And the Torah tells us, they believe the second Edom and the first Edom get punished appropriately. That whole concept is a chiddush. Why should we say that we believe the second set over the first set? Now, to be sure, to show him talk about, there is a certain degree of logic to it, because after all, the second Edom could come and testify, for example, that the first ones are Gazlonim or other kinds of Rishoyim and passel them. So there is a certain logic to it, but basically, though, it's Xeris HaKosuv. So therefore, so Rava is saying, so fine, once the Chiddush takes place, once it turns out that they're Edom Zomim, then fine, we can say that they're apostle. But not retroactively to when they said the Edos. So Tosfos actually points out the chiddush is really not so much that we're passing the first Edom. The chiddush is really more that we're saying that the second Edom are kosher. The fact that, again, unlike with Hakosha, where we would say, we, as far as we're concerned, we don't know which set of Edom are lying and which ones are telling the truth. We're just going to throw out the whole thing. But here we would really say that we would think to say that both sets of Edom are apostle, and that's it. Instead, we're saying the first set are apostle, the second are kosher. So therefore, the Rava says that you can't really apply that for months retroactively. So that's Rava says, Eid Zemim Chiddush, my chaz, smoicha, the samcha sahani, what makes you think to rely on the one set of Edom, smoicha hani, instead rely on the other set? Ein l'choboyel m'shas chiddusha ve'elach, so you can really only apply it from the time of the chiddush and on. Okay. Ikadamri, another version is Omar Rava Namika Bayis Svirale. Another version, another way of understanding the Machloikas would be that Rava also agrees with Abaya's point that they should be possible from when they first gave the Eidos. But what would be the Machloikas? Umay Tam Komar. Really, what Rava is saying is just a reason. My time, common mekanolabba. Rava would say, though, on the other hand, why am I going to say that even though in principle, yes, they ought to be posel the mafreya all the way back to the time when they said the edus? Rava argues that maybe we should say mishum pseidud lekuchas. You should say, after all, listen, potential buyers during that time may lose out. Imagine, for example, that you had. So here they testify in Nissan about a loan or something. Later on in Iyar, somebody took these same two edim, let's say, to sign a shtar that he had sold a field to Pliny or whatever. Later on, it turns out they're edim zemin. We're going to make that whole sale is going to be invalidated because of that, because the Edom were possible, and it's going to be a harm to the Lakuchas. So therefore, Rava says, for that reason, maybe we shouldn't say that they're possible retroactively. Maybe we should only say that they're only possible from now on. So that would mean, in other words, for example, so if they sign on Gittin v'Kiddushin, then maybe indeed that would be, then Rava would agree in the second Lashon that they are in fact possible. So the Gemara says, my binayhu. So in that case, then what's the practical difference between Rava and Abaya, or between the two reasons of Rava? And the answer is, ikke binayhu, da ashidu beit shrei b'chad. The nafkamina would be, suppose that two edim come to give edus about one of them. Now, for them to be edim zomimin, it has to be that both of them have been muzam. Both of them are being told imanu hayisim. Doesn't necessarily have to be by one new pair of edim. You could have one pair of edim comes and says, Reuven, you were with us in b'makom pliny. And another pair says, you, Shimon, were with us in b'makom pliny. But here we're talking about, in other words, that... So here we're talking about exactly that. Here we're talking about that one group comes to say that one aid of the first one is an aid zomim, and another group comes to say that the other one is an aid zomim. So if you say it's a matter of chiddush, there's not really much of a chiddush in that. Of course, two aidim can impeach the validity of one aid. So then, according to the first lashon, Rava would have to agree that they're posel l'mafreya. But according to the second explanation of that, we don't want the lekuchas to lose out, then Rava would have to say that, nevertheless, though, the fact is, we don't want the poor lekuchas use these people as aidim, not knowing they're going to turn out to be aidim zomim, and therefore you can't impeach the validity of their aidus for months in advance. Inami de Paslinu Gazlam Nusa, or another explanation, another possibility, another nafkamina would be, suppose that the new Edom don't come and say Imanu HaYisim, but they come and say, you guys stole something back in Nissan, And therefore, you're posel la'edim because you're gazlanim. So as far as chiddush, there's no chiddush in it. Of course, we believe that when they're testifying about those edim themselves, that they're gazlanim, as long as we can corroborate that what we're saying, that what they're saying is correct, then yeah, we can posel their edus. But again, if you say it's a matter of making the lakuchas lose out, then you have to take that into consideration as well. Now that's according to Rashi. Tosfos actually has a different gusa, meaning that Tosfos understands that the scenario is where we're saying the nafkamina is two edim came and said that one of the two edim is zoymen, but not the other. Now, for them to be edim zoymen, it has to be that both of them are impeached like that, and here it's only one. They come and say Reuven imanu hayisim, you were with us someplace else, but Shimon, we say we don't know about. Maybe you were there, maybe we weren't. So the point is that Eid Zomim is a chiddush. So we're saying that we can still call it a chiddush. The fact is that the fact is that Shimon is saying, what are you talking about? I saw it together with Reuven. So maybe we shouldn't be believing the second Eidim, and nevertheless we do. So then Marshal and Marshaw go into an arichus on Tosfos, explaining exactly what Tosfos means over here and the details. So Marshaw talks about, let's say, for example, we could be talking about that the two Edim to begin with, let's say Reuven and Shimon, who are coming and testifying about what happened, each one of them, for example, saw it from a different place. So Shimon can't say, wait a minute, I can testify Reuven was with me, because the fact is he can't. They saw it from a different vantage point, and they didn't necessarily see each other. So Shimon can't join together with Reuven to say, you know what, after all, I can go up against these Edim and say that he was not with them Mamakam Ploini, but rather he was with me there, because the fact is he can't. They saw it from different vantage points, from different windows, to use the terminology that the Gemara uses in Masechta Makkos. So then there wouldn't be so much of a chiddush in it. But nevertheless, you have Pseidid Lakuchas, you still have the Lakuchas losing out. And similarly, when it comes to Gazlonus, would be again where they're saying that one of them would be Mazim and the other one is a Gazlon. So in that case, again, he can't join in with that Edus. So we have Nafkaminas in Rava's Dinim, and in the two reasons that Rava's giving. So Rabbi Yumi B'Difti says, what's the practical halacha? Over the papi uvda kavasei the Rava. Rav Papi one time paskin and practiced like Rava. There was a case like that of Edim Zomim, and Rava allowed them to, and Rava allowed their Edus of the months in between the original Edus and the Hazama, to stand, and he only passed their Edus from now on. On the other hand, Ma'abra Rav Ashi Omer, Hilchsa Kavasei Da'abaya, Ma'abra Rav Ashi says the halacha is like Abaya, and in fact, Hilchsa Kavasei Da'abaya B'yau Kagam. We know there are six cases where the halacha is like Abaya. This is one of them. The ayin stands for Eid Zomim. There is, by the way, a fascinating series of drushas, which are very, very long and complex and deep. A series of drushas from the Noda Yehuda before he became the Rav of Prague. He was the Rav in a city called Yampol. And he gave on a number of Shabbos Shuvahs in a row over a period of several, I think it was Shabbos Shuvahs, maybe it was Shabbos Agadol, I don't remember. Anyway, over a period of several years, he gave a detailed explanation why we have these things in this order, why Dafka the Yud first and then the Ayin and so forth. After all, it's not in the order that they are in Shas. So he explains basically that once we know the halacha is like Abaya in the Yud, which is Yud Shalemi Das, then that in turn forces us to say, and he explains in depth why that forces us to say over here, like that the halacha is like Abaya when it comes to Eid Zomim. And once we know that, then that forces us to say, because otherwise it wouldn't work out logically, that the halacha is like Abaya in the Lamed, which is a case of in Eruv in Lechi Ho'im in Me'elov, and so forth. Like each one depends on the previous one. Apikabala, Reb Levik, the Rebbe's father, points out that the word Ya'al means to go up, and Kagam stands for Kohos, Gershon, Merari, who are the three sons of Levi, and they represent Gvura. He explains that Abaya represents Gvura, and Rava represents Chesed, and therefore it means that in these cases, Gvura overpowers Chesed. Here is another machlokes of Abaya and Rava. Mumer oichel nevelos latei oven. If you have a person who a mumer, now we usually think of mumer as being a person who converted to another religion, Rahman al-Slan, but really more generally, mumer means anybody who acts as though a particular mitzvah doesn't apply to him. So now you have, he's a mumer oichel nevelos. He's eating trefa food. Latei oven, if he's eating it because of his appetite, so for example, because today for food is easier to get or cheaper or whatever than kosher food. Divrei Hakol Pasul, everybody is going to agree that he's going to be Pasul La'edus because, again, this is a matter of Chomos. This is a matter of that he's doing an Aveda because of Mammon. So again, because he's eating treif because of mammon, he might testify falsely because of mammon. What about lahachis? What about if he's doing it to davka to anger Hashem? So kosher food is just as easily and cheaply available as treif for food, and he davka goes and eats the treif for food in order to say, look, I'm doing this specifically against Hashem. So now, what's his din as far as an aid? Abaya am apostle, rova am a kosher. So Abaya says he'll be posel leiders. Rava says in this case he'll be kosher. Abaya, I'm a posel to have a Russia, because after all he's a Russia. He's doing a serious Aveda over here. And in fact, he would be Chayiv Malkus, like Rav Sheshes had said before. A person who's Chayiv Malkus has to be Posel La'edus, no? And again, as Tosfos had drawn the distinction over there before, it's one thing if it was Znus, one thing if it was Arayus, where a person has an enormously powerful Yetzirah for it, but here he doesn't necessarily. In any case, so Rabbi says that's reason enough to make him posel. V'rachmana amal toshes rasha aid. As we said before, the Torah says don't make a rasha, don't allow a rasha to be an aid. V'rava amal kosher, Rava says no, it'll be kosher, rasha de chomas ve'inen. In order for him to be posel aedus, it has to be a rasha of chomas, something involving money. And here it's not involving money because he's just saying, I want to anger Hashem. Well, the Gemara says mesvi, the Gemara says I have a contradiction on Rava. When we say this pasuk al toshes yodchem rasha lias aid chamas, that a person you're not allowed to allow a rasha to be an aid. So the Braisa explains when it says al toshes rasha aid, al toshes chamas aid. So it's like this: it says al toshes yodchem rasha. Don't place your hand together with the rasha lias aid chamas to be an aid of chamas of wronging financially. So the Braisa says it means both. Al toshes rasha aid, don't allow a rasha to be an aid. Al toshes chomas aid, and don't allow a chomas, a person who commits chomas, a gazlan, to be an aid. Now, then the Braisa explains, eidu gazlonin, so that refers to people who steal, umoylan b'shvias, and people who are umoylan b'shvuas, and people who are over on shvuas, people who are testifying, b'pashtus, it sounds like it means, like they're swearing falsely. So the Gemara says, my lab, echad shvuas shav, echad shvuas mammon. Now on the face of it, when we say shvuos in plural, we mean there are two kinds of shvuos. There's a shvuos shav, which is, for example, that he swears about, let's say, he looks at a stone pillar and swears that it's made out of gold, which is an obvious, or Rashi. So Rashi says, shvuos shav actually would be a useless shvua, which would be where he's testifying, for example, he looks at a stone pillar and says, I swear that that's stone. So it's a useless shvua. Everybody knows it's stone. Shvuos sheker, on the other hand, would be where he looks at a stone pillar and says, that's gold. So that would be one kind of echad shvuas mammon, and then you have a shvua of mammon where he's swearing falsely to collect money from somebody or something, or to be potter for money. So you see that shvuas shav alone, even though it has nothing to do with money, it makes him posel aedus. So why shouldn't eating the velos also? And the answer is like, no, idi mammon, no, idi shvuas mammon, no, both of them can refer to a shvua of money. Or my shvuas to alma. When it says shvuas, it doesn't mean two types of shvua. It just means, in other words, that you have a shvuas in general. We just mean the plural as an indefinite thing. You have a lot of shvuas out there, and he's over on them. But not necessarily are we talking about that there were that any of them are shvuas mammon. That all of them are Shavuos Mammon. And you have, there are different kinds of Shavuos Mammon, as we will learn later this year, Be'ez Hashem, in Masech to Shavuos. So therefore, but not necessarily if he's over on Shavuos Shav, if he's going around swearing about stone pillars, that they're gold or that they're stone, not necessarily, Rava says, would that be enough to pass Olam La'edus, even though, yes, he is getting Malkus for it, but nevertheless, it's not a Rasha of Chomos. So the Gemara says Mesvi. Then I have another contradiction. This one on Abaya. The Braisa says Al Toshes Rosha Aid Al Toshes Chomas Aid Elu Gazlonin Umavi Ribius. Another Braisa says that what are the Rishoyim and the Chomas who are not allowed to be Aidim is Gazlonim and people who lend at Ribis. Now those are things of money. So Tuvta Da Abaya. Wouldn't that be a contradiction on Abaya? And the Gemara says, Tufta, you're right, that would be a contradiction. That Braisa seems to pretty clearly say that the things that make a person chayev, that the persons that make the things that make a person posel for eidos are strictly things of mammon. Well, the Gemara says, Neima Katanoi, should we say that this machlokas Abaya and Rava is actually a machlokas Tanoim? A braisa says, Eid Zomim possible l'chol Torah kula. An Eid Zomim is possible to testify about anything in the Torah, whether dinim mominus or dinim nefash, as divir a mayor. Rabbi Yossi says, not necessarily, but med vana mamurim, shahuzam bedinim nefash. When a person was huzam, when it comes to dinin nefashos. So he had come to Beis Din together with somebody else to testify that somebody has broken Shabbos or done something else, or worshipped Avodah Zarah or whatever, done something that makes him chayav misas Beis Din, and now it turns out that he's an Eid Zoyman. Then Rabbi Yossi is saying, come on, he's obviously a very, very big Rosha that he was going to testify, that if his testimony had checked out, this other guy would have been killed. So therefore, yes, you can say he's possible l'chol Torah kula. Aval who's on the dinim mominus, but Rabbi Yossi says if the hazama was only a dinim mominus, then kosher the dinim nefashis. Then Rabbi Yossi says he will be kosher to give edrus on dinim nefashis. We have a general rule. Rashi points out that kosher lechomer, kosher lekal, but not the other way around. When a person is suspect about violating a more serious aveda, then he's suspect also of violating a less serious one, but not the other way around. So if he was guilty of testifying falsely that Reuven owes Shimon $100, that doesn't mean that later on he can't come and testify that Reuven is chayiv misa, and we might accept his edus. So now the question is, Neymar, Abaya, Kerameyer, Verrava, Kerabiosi. So should we say Abaya is holding like Rameyer, he's posel cholator to kola, that's it, and Rava is going to say like Rabiosi. Namely, we would say like this: Abaya kiramayor d'amar aminin mikula l'chumra. Abaya, what is Rameyer saying? That even though the hazama was only a dinin mominus, it was only a false testimony as far as dinin mominus. Nevertheless, Rameyer is passeling him for any kind of edus. Therefore, Abaya would be following that. So Abaya is saying he's doing a lesser avera of eating the velus. Nevertheless, we would suspect him of also testifying falsely. Where the difference is, after all, the velus is ra l'shamayim. He's doing something bad against Hashem, but it's not ra labrius, and other people, at least openly, are not getting hurt by it. Okay, you know, kol yisrael arim zelazeh and all that, fine, but at least openly, it's not hurting other Jews, as opposed to testifying falsely as ra l'shamayim, ra labrius. Nevertheless, your mayor would say that the same way as when he testified falsely on Momon, then we also don't accept his edus in the future as far as nefashos. So Abaya is going to say the same thing as far as nevelus versus false testimony. The Rava, Da'amar Rabbi Yossi, Da'amar Machumer L'Kula Amrinan, M'Kula L'Chumer L'Amrinan. Meanwhile, Rava is going to hold like Rabbi Yossi, who says we only say that he's possible when you go from Chumer to Kal, but not the other way around. So it was the same way as Rabbi Yossi is saying, he testified falsely on Momon, doesn't mean that therefore he's going to necessarily testify falsely on Nefashis. So Rava would say the same thing, the same way, just because he's choshered, just because he's eating Nevelus, which is Rala Shemayim, doesn't necessarily mean that he would be Rala Brias and testify falsely as well. So does it come out then that's a Macholikas Tanoim? Well, the Gemara says, Loi, no. Within Rabbi Yossi's opinion, everybody would agree. Sure, Rabbi Yossi is obviously saying that if he's choshed on something lesser, then he's not choshed on something greater. So yes, according to Rabbi Yossi, yes, we would have to say Rabbi Yossi agrees with Rava. But ki pligi al libe de Rab Meir. But the question would be within Rab Meir's opinion. Abaya ki Rab Meir. Abaya is straight out like Rab Meir. Choshed lekal is also choshed lechomer. The Rava, where's Rava? Would answer back. No, Ad Kan like Amar Rav Meir Hosam and the Gabe Eid Zoimim de Momon. No, because you know what Rav Meir is talking about over there. The fact is, he was an Eid Zoimim after all. He did testify falsely on money. Dirala Shemayim Vidala Brias. And again, fine, money is less serious than the Foshas. Nevertheless, he was testifying falsely, which is bad against Hashem. It's an Avera, and it's bad against people to testify falsely against them. Here you're talking about a person is eating the velus. It's only Rala Shemayim. There's no Rala Brias. There's no Rala Brias involved at all. So it's one thing. In other words, when he's eating the Te'ovah, and then we said, fine, there's a matter of money involved. Then the fact is, he's eating it because he's eating the Nevelus, he's eating the Treif, because it costs less, and that means, therefore, we see he's cheap on money, and therefore we have to be concerned that he might be taking money falsely to testify. But here, where there's no money involved, it's strictly Lahachis, then Rava says that's not reason enough to pass Olam La'edus. Okay, so the Gemara says, V'hilchsa kavasei da'abaya, the halacha is like a baya that even he's eating lahachis, he's posel edus. The Gemara says, V'hoi toisa, what do you mean? We had a braisa before, and we shlogged up a baya. And the answer is, Hahi Rabbi Yossi. That braisa was according to Rabbi Yossi. Now that we established that we have Rabbi Yossi versus Rameyer, then Rabbi is not necessarily contradicted, because he could be holding like Rameyer. So the Gemara says, so what? For Tehevi Nami Rabbi Yossi. Fine, even if that Brai says like Rabbi Yossi, so what? Rameyer Rabbi Yossi, Alocha Rabbi Yossi. We have a general rule that when we have a general rule that when we have a machloikas Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, the halacha is generally like Rabbi Yossi. So therefore, so how can we defend Abaya by saying that his opinion is according to the mayor? And the answer is shiny awesome. It's different over there. Just sussam lantana kira mayor. Because in a Mishnah, we have a Mishnah where we have a stam Mishnah like Reb Meir, and therefore we can say, and it doesn't even, and therefore, so that's the halacha, and therefore the fact that Reb Yossi disagrees, nevertheless, the rule that the halacha is like a stam Mishnah overrides that, and therefore the halacha can be like a buyer who in turn holds like Reb Meir. This is another one of the six things of Yao Kagam, because this is the mem of Kagam, Mumer Oichol Nevelis. Now, Vehecha Sosam Lon, where do we have the Stam Mishnah like Reb Meir? So we're going to learn that out from the following story. Kihod Bar Choma Kotel Nafsha. There was a fellow named Bar Choma who had killed somebody. Omele Resh Galusa L'Rab Abba Bar Yaakov. So the Resh Galusa, who was the governor of the Jews in Babel at that time, says to Rab Acha Bar Yaakov, Puk Ayin Ba, go check into the matter, go interrogate the Edim and everything. E Vadai Kotel, if it turns out that he really did kill, L'chiyuha Le'ene, they should knock out his eyes. Now, what does that mean? Rashi has several explanations. The first is it means literally that. They should gouge out his eyes. There's no Mrs. Bastin anymore. This story is taking place in the time of the Amoraim, long after the Sanhedrin is not able to judge Dinin Nefoshes. But nevertheless, we know there was a concept based in Makin Va'onshin Shalom in Atorda that Bastin can beat people and then punish them even beyond what the Torah says. So here, the Reish Galosa is saying this is an example of that. That's one explanation, Rashi says. Second explanation, Rashi says, is take away all his money and give it to his Yoshim. So he himself will be left penniless. The third explanation, Rashi says, is put him in Cherem. Of the three explanations, Rashi prefers the first explanation, and that means that literally they're gouging out his eyes. There are examples where the Rishonim mentioned, the Rosh, for example, mentions in one of his Truvas, a case that was brought to him where actually the Bote Dinim in Spain in the Rosh's times apparently had government were authorized and ordered by the government to actually execute people when necessary. When a person had done something which would make him chayev misa, even by Goyish law, then the Goyish government would delegate it to the Bote Dinim to carry it out. So one of those Bote Dinim, and I think in the city of Toledo, wrote to the Rosh asking, should we do that? The fact is there's no Dinim Nefoshes nowadays. And the Rosh says, in the Tshuva, that you know what, it's true, there's no dinim nefashis nowadays. I'm told that you're required to do it by the king, but still, I don't know, you shouldn't necessarily be doing that. So he says, you know what, in this particular case, the guy was guilty of blaspheming, of cursing Hashem, and even the Goyim agreed in those times that that's a serious thing. So fine, the Rosh says, cut out his tongue. And that would be his punishment. So we see an example of this. Here we have in the Gemara, gouging out his eyes. We see that sometimes based Bote Dinim, even nowadays, are empowered to do such things. But again, so the Reish Galusa says to Rab Abba Bar Yaakov, go check out the situation and see whether we should do that. Also, well, two Edim came and said that this Bar Choma had actually killed. Also, Ihu, well, Bar Choma doesn't give up. I see Tresadi. He himself brought two Edim, Ashidu be Bechad Mehanach, to give two Edim to pass on one of those two Edim who had testified that he had killed. Chad Oma Kamoi Dide Gan of Kabad Choshla, one of the two Edim that Bar Choma brought, said, that, so here we have Bar Choma, the accused murderer. Then we have Reuven and Shimon had testified that he killed. Now Bar Choma is bringing Levi and Yehuda. Now of those two Edim, Levi and Yehuda, Levi testifies about Reuven, Kamoididi gun of Kabod Choshla. In my presence, he stole a calf of peeled barley, which is a gazlan, he's posolatus. V'chad Oma, the other one of the new Edim, Yehuda, says about Reuven, Kamoididi gun of in my presence, he stole a handle of a spear. So in short, in other words, they're saying both of them. They're saying that these Edim are apostle Edus. So therefore, so that means that there's no Edim, there's no valid Edim against Bar Choma. Amalei, sort of Abba says to Bar Choma, who had brought these new Edim, my daitech k'ra mayor, what are you thinking? You're thinking like a mayor that these guys are choshered on money and therefore we can't accept the edus when it comes to dinin nefoshes, which is what we're dealing with over here. Now, to be sure, according to Rashi's three explanations, one of them is not necessarily dinin nefoshes, one of them is not necessarily dinin mamonis. But nevertheless, the Edim themselves are thinking that that Bar Choma should actually be executed. Fine, the Beis Shkalusa is saying maximum penalty we'll give him, according to Rashi's second explanation, was to take away all his money, but nevertheless, the Edim, when they first came to testify that he had killed, they didn't know that. So therefore, it can be considered dinin nefashos. So now, anyway, Rab Abba is saying to this Bar Choma, you think the halacha is like a mayor, and therefore that once these guys are shown by your new agent to be gazlonim, then they're posel eidos and you go free. No, the mayor Rabbi Yosi, halacha Rabbi Yosi. So therefore, and according to Rabbi Yosi, just because they're choshered on money doesn't mean they're choshered on dinin nefashos. So therefore, they're Rabbi Yosi ha'amah huzam b'dinin mamonis choshered on dinin nefashos. By the way, we see, I guess, from this story, this Bar Choma must have been a shtickel Taman Chacham for Rab Abba to be telling him about Rab Meir and Rab Yosi. If he was Stam and Amaretz, then that wouldn't mean anything to him. Anyway, Omale Rab Papi, but Rab Papi says to Rab Abba, no, because Hani, again, like we said before, Hani Mili, Heichad Bolei Sosa Montana, could Rab Meir. Sure, that rule that the Halacha is like Rab Yosi against Rab Meir would apply where we don't have a Stam Mishnah like Rab Meir. But here we have a Stam Mishnah like Rav Meir, and therefore the halacha has to be like him, and therefore, yes, once these Edim are, and therefore, once these Edim are found, if Bar Choma's Edim check out, and in fact Reuven and Shimon respectively had stole something, or both Reuven, or both Reuven and or just one of them, whatever, would be enough, then that would be enough to exonerate Bar Choma. But we have a Stam Mishnah like Rav Meir, and therefore, yes, as long as we can prove that of the original Edim who were testifying against him, at least one of them is a Gazlan, then he goes free. Well, Mimai, so where does Rav Papi find a Stam Mishnah like Rav Meir? Ilema Mahod Etznan, are you going to say he learns it from a Mishnah that says, Kol Roy Lodun Dinin Nefoshes, Roy Lodun Dinin Mamonis, where it says anybody who's suitable to judge Dinin Nefoshes is capable of judging Dinin Mamonis? Now, on the face of it, when we're talking about what do we mean, where he's roi or not roi, but pashtus, we mean where he's choshud. So you're talking about somebody who's choshud on something, he's suspect of a certain kind of avera, and nevertheless, we're saying that even though he's suspect about something involving dinin and foshus, he can still judge dinin mominus. So we have to figure, mani, who would this be like? Ilema Rabbi Yosi, would you say it's like Rabbi Yosi? No, ha'ika eid zoymim de momen. After all, you have the case of a person who turned out to be an eid zoymim as far as momen, de kosher l'dinin foshes or posel l'dinin mominus. And according to Rabbi Yosi before, we said he'd be posel in the future, he'd be kosher in the future for dinin foshes, he'd only be posel for dinin mominus. Because again, we would say that when he's kosher for something lesser, then he's not kosher for something greater. We're not going to say that he would go so far as testifying falsely to have somebody executed. El Olav Rameo. Evidently, that Mishnah in Nida must be like Rameo. So therefore, so you see that there's a Stam Mishnah like Rameo. What kind of a proof is that? How do we know? You're talking about where they would be posel because of Averus, and you're talking about whether they're posel or whether they're posel or kosher because of Averus. Duma, but psula yuchsin koi. Maybe the Mishnah is talking about whether they're kosher or posel on the grounds of yuchsin. For example, a ger or a mamzer. A ger or a mamzer can sit on a bastin for dinin mominus, but they can't sit on a bastin for dinin afashis, as we're going to learn in the next parak. So maybe the Mishnah is saying that. Anybody who's kosher to judge dinin nefashos, meaning that he's from a meyuchas family, is automatically also by the same logic, kosher to judge dinin mominus. But the reverse is not true. If he's kosher to judge dinin mominus, he may be possible for dinin nefashos, for example, if he's a ger. And after all, the Gemara says, otherwise, if you're not going to say that, look at look at the next part of the Mishnah. To Katoni, yes, roi lodun dinin mominus, vein roi lodun dinin nefashis. Sometimes you have certain kinds of people who are suitable to judge dinin mominus, but not dinin nefashis. Now, amai, ain roi, why would he not be roi? The itzam b'dinin nefashis, you're going to say because he was muzam as far as dinin nefashis, you're going to say he testified falsely that somebody should be killed and he turned out to be an eid zoymim, and now you're going to allow him for dinin mominus. Roy Lord of dinin mominus, well, divrei hakol posel. Everybody would agree he's posel at that point. Ela b'psul yuchsin koi. Obviously, yeah, we have to be talking about psul yuchsin. For example, a ger or a mamzer. So it has nothing to do with whether he's a bal averus or not. The same way the beginning of the Mishnah is also talking about matter was a psula of yuchsin. So you don't have that Mishnah. It is a stam Mishnah, but it has nothing to do with what we're dealing over here with a baal averus versus not. So Rapapi continues, Ella Hocha Kasasam Lantana. No, I'll show you where we have a stam Mishnah like a mayor. That's not. We learned a Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. Elohena Psulim. The following people are possible to come and say Eidos as far as that they saw the new moon, where they come to Beis Din and testify about that. Hamasachik Bekovia, gamblers, as we talked about in the last couple of blocks, why they're possible. Or Malve Beribis, people who lend at Ribis, and we're talking even Ribis de Rabbanon. Or Mafricha Yonim, people who make pigeons fly, where earlier the Gemara had given a couple of blocks ago two explanations of that. One is that they bet on pigeon races. The other one is that they have trained their pigeons that are trained to lure other people's pigeons away. Either way, so according to the first possibility, then it's under the general heading of gambling, for which the Gemara had given two reasons why such a person is possible. According to the second reason, it's a type of gezel de rabbanon. The soichrei shvius and people who do business selling fruit of shmita, whereas we talked about before, that's also min haTorah. The ha'avadim and slaves. So all of those are listed in the Mishnah there in Rosh Hashanah as being posel la'edus, as being posel la'edus achodesh. So again, and the Mishnah continues. Zaklaw kol edus shein isha kshedola. The general rule: any edus that a woman is not kosher to give edus on, afhein ein kshedola, then these people listed in the Mishnah are not kosher for such edus. Meaning, in other words, there are some times when we do accept the edus of a woman. For example, that a man is dead, and that therefore his wife can get remarried, and we have a couple of other cases. So those we would accept from these psulim as well, but otherwise not. Now, Mani, now who is this Mishnah like? Ilema Rabbi Yossi, you're going to say it's like Rabbi Yossi, who says that just because he testified falsely on Mammon, then we can't accept it, then he doesn't become possible for Dinin Nefashis. What do you mean? I can give you another example. But you have there is a case that goes against the rule in the Mishnah. You have an edus in dinin nefashos she'ena isha kshedo la, where a woman is not kosher for edus in dinin nefashos v'heim kshedo la, and yet these psulim of the Mishnah according to Rabbi Yosi would be kosher for it because they're only psulim because of mammon, and therefore we can accept them for nefashos, which is also we can accept them for edus achodesh. El olav Rameir. Evidently, that Mishnah must be like Rameir. And the point is that we're saying, and Rameo is saying so the rule holds good always. Rameo would say once they're choshered, once they're posel la'edus in dinin mamonis, then they're posel la'edus in anything, including in dinin nefashos. So there's a stam Mishnah like Rameo. Well, Bachoma was extremely grateful for the papi standing up for him and showing that these original edim who came and testified against him apostle. Come Bachoma, nashke akare. He got up, he kissed the papi's feet, the kabli, the krage, the kulishni, and he accepted on himself for the rest of his life that he would pay the taxes that otherwise the papi would have to pay. So partially he wanted to show his gratitude that the papi had worked out how to exonerate him, how to show that the edim against him apostle. So he did that out of gratitude. The Yad Ramah points out, by the way, if Rapapi had been the Dayan himself, he couldn't have accepted that. Then there's a problem of Sheikhad. But here he's not the actual Dayan, he's just there and discussing it. So therefore it's valid for that. Another point as well, the Rosh makes another point as well. Talmud Chachamim, in principle anyway, the Gemara tells us in Baba Basra, are exempt from many kinds of taxes as well. So like this, in other words, all Bachoma was saying is if the government ever imposes taxes on you, Rapapi, which they shouldn't be doing anyway, because you exempt as a Talmud Chacham, then I'm taking it on myself that I'll pay them. So he's not necessarily giving him anything, because if they never charge Rapapi taxes, then Bachom is not actually paying anything. Okay. The Mishnah says, Elohena Kroivin. Now, we said that also relatives are possible to judge a din Torah and also to give edus. So let's talk about the details of what relatives. The Elohena Kroivin, the following are the relatives that apostle to judge or to give edus. Ochiv, his brother, v'achi oviv, and his uncle, his father's brother, v'achi imai, his other uncle from his mother's side, u'bal achoisa, his sister's husband, his brother-in-law, u'bal achois oviv, his uncle by marriage, his brother, his father's sister's husband, uval achois imai, and the husband of his mother's sister. So again, his uncle by marriage, uval imai, also his stepfather, V'chomiv and his father-in-law, V'gisoy and his brother-in-law, meaning before we had the brother-in-law who was the husband of his sister. Now we're talking about Gisoy would be his wife's brother. So Hain, now with the psul of Eidos or of Dayan or of Dayanus applies to them, Uvnehen as well as to their children, V'chasnehen as well as to their sons-in-law. And then you have one more. So you have a bunch of relatives. You have a bunch of first and second degree relatives. And then you have one more, v'churge levado. Then you have his stepson only. So his wife had previously been married, and she has a son. Then you would be possible to say Adris regarding him or he regarding you, but only him. If he has a child, for example, then you would be able to say Adris in something involving that child or vice versa. Rabbi Yossi, Zum Mishnes in Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yossi says this that we just taught is the Mishnah of Rabbi Akiva. This is how. Now, Rashi, by the way, brings up the point over here. Once we mention, for example, that why do we even need to mention the stepson? If we're saying that his stepfather is posel to him, then automatically that means his stepfather is posel to him. So why mention Churge at all? Once we have the stepfather is posel to testify for the stepson, then we know it's the other way around as well, and there's no reason to mention Churge as well. So Rashi explains like this. Whenever all the ones over here in the Mishnah that we're mentioning things that are bi-directional. My brother is possible to say Eidos regarding me. I'm also possible to say Eidos regarding him. We're each other's brothers. The same way father and son and so forth. So now, in other words, the Mishnah is mentioning in each of these cases, it's mentioning something where you realize if you look at the relationship the other way as well, then it's also possible on those grounds as well. So you can go and find it. So therefore, in other words, Rashi says, don't be bothered by the fact that the Mishnah says Churge, because the Mishnah is mentioning a lot of other things that are unnecessary. The Mishnah is mentioning a lot of other relatives over here, where if you analyze it, you're going to find, of course, you know, the relationship is the same thing in reverse, and it would be anyway under one of the other headings in the Mishnah, but there's no problem of mentioning it. There's no problem of mentioning it again. So then Tosfos goes and discusses in some detail and says that no, each of them, there is actually a chiddush. It's not just mentioning them unnecessarily. Sometimes it's because to say them themselves. Sometimes it's to say that includes their sons and their sons-in-law. Then why does it mention the stepson? Is it's mentioning just to be aware that it's levada and to be aware that it doesn't extend to future generations. Okay. So then Tosfos goes and discusses in detail why each one of them would be necessary, why we couldn't derive one from the other. Anyway, Omar Rabbi Yossi, Zu Mishnas Rabbi Akiva. This is how Rabbi Akiva taught that all of these relatives are possible to testify or to judge a din Torah for one another. Ava Mishnah Rishona, but the original Mishnah before Rabbi Akiva came along was Doidoy or Ben Doidoy, that the Psulim are his uncle or his cousin, V'chol Roy Liyoshoi, and anybody else who's in line to Yarushanim. As we learned from Baba Basra, you have a line of Yerusha, where if a person doesn't have children, then it goes back, the Yerusha goes back to his father. And if not his father, then it goes to his brothers, and if not, then it goes to his grandfather, and then to his uncles and so forth. So uncles and cousins, in principle, are in line to Yarushanim. So therefore, the Mishnah Rishona was that those are the ones who are apostle, that those are the ones who are apostle Laedus. But in other words, that according to the Mishnah Rishona, if they're not in line for Yerusha, then they would be kosher. So say, for example, according to the Mishnah Rishona, let's say a father-in-law to son-in-law might be kosher because they're not in line to Yarshin one another. Rashi mentions, for example, that let's say, for example, maternal brothers where they only have the same mother, not the same father. There's no way they're Yarshining from one another, so therefore they would be kosher to give Adris for him, but maybe not the other way around. So that was the original Mishnah, but then Rabbi Akiva is adding all these other relatives. Continues the Mishnah, v'chol ha'korav lo ba'os ha'shah, and also anybody else who was related to him at that time, when the thing took place, when the loan took place, or whatever it is possible. What happens if he was a relative at the time and then he became distant? So let's say, for example, a son-in-law. Let's say at the time the father-in-law lent somebody money, and now the son-in-law is going to go and give Eidos on it. So it'd be possible because he's his son-in-law. But let's say by the time he comes to give Eidos, his wife has passed away, and now he's not the guy's son-in-law anymore. How is a kosher? Then he would be kosher to give Eidos. Because the fact is, right now he's not a relative. Rabbi Yehuda Omar, for the Mesa Bitiv, Yeshlet Bonimimena, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, even if the daughter died, but he has sons from her, Hareza Korev, then he's still considered a relative. Because in other words, let's say the son-in-law over here, he has children from his wife who passed away. Nevertheless, they're still his Shver's grandchildren. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says that's enough of a relationship for him to be possible Eidos. Okay, the Mishnah continues. Here's other types of people who cannot give eidos. A friend or an enemy. When we say a friend, we don't mean a friend. We mean a shushvin, as we learned in Baba Basra. You had the whole mutual aid kind of thing when people are getting married, where people would give gifts to the chosen to help cover the cost of the wedding, and then they'd be invited, and there was the whole arrangement where there, then when the next one of the group gets married, then they're going to do the same thing for him, etc. So these shushvin are really, really close friends. So we're concerned that he might testify falsely for him in his favor. And what would be the definition of an enemy is where they didn't speak for 3 days because they hate each other. Jews are not suspect of that kind of thing, that they're going to testify falsely just because of this love or hate. And therefore, so fine, to judge, Rashi says that not, because the judge has to be able to be completely objective, and he can't necessarily be. But to give eidos, they're not going to go so far as to testify falsely just because they love each other or because they hate each other. So we'll start tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. We'll start the Gemara and deal with how we know this concept that relative is a puzzle, and then we're going to work out over the next couple of dafim in detail about what edim, what relatives are and aren't kosher for eidos and for judging.